Hi, you're watching another specially recorded session of Agenda Wani right here at the World Comic Forum in Davos. This is the TV Studio Room 6. Very hard to get, you have to queue. This is the Media Village. About 1,000 over media practitioners are here. Journalists, editors, cameramen, you name it. And the greatest session ever that I've been to for 5 straight years at the World Comic Forum was actually a session this year, where the moderator said it might be the youngest ever panelist ever assembled for a formal session of the World Comic Forum. I know, you guys will be saying Greta Thunberg and you want me to interview her, but Greta is a bit further away from us, closer to us, and we should always be friendlier to people closer to us, is Africa. And from Africa, from Zambia, is the Greta of Africa, the Greta of Zambia, but she is her own right, a bit different from Greta, where she has been in the media, like me. She has practiced being a journalist, she could do this well, and she's an activist, not just for causes that she believes in, but of course for gender empowerment, from where she comes from, and for the whole of Africa, and now for the whole of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can ask you to give a big round of applause, it will be for Natasha Mwansa. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you so much.
Before everything else, because a lot of my audience wouldn't have been able to be here, of course, and also to watch the session, the panel session that you were with Greta on. So I would like to go back to that. And I think for Malaysia, my country, we have found a new Greta, because the way you speak, what you speak about, how you speak it, and the conviction and the passion in it is exactly like a lot of young people in Malaysia. So I would love to bring you to KL one day, but before we go there, I'm going to have to bring you to them through the cameras and the audios and the videos. How would you like for you to be known? So I would let you, being a fellow journalist like me, to make the introduction of how you want to be known by my fellow Malaysians.
First, it would be such an honor to visit Malaysia, and I'll take you on that offer. thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. My name is Natasha Mwansa, and I'm 18 years old from Zambia. So I am an activist and an advocate, and I work with different fields. I am into health, I'm into women and girls, and I am into meaningful engagement and participation of young people too. So my work has been going on for quite a few years. I started when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, I started with an NGO called the Media Network on Child Rights and Development. And so they picked me up and they trained me in journalistical skills, and because of them, I was a junior reporter, I still am, and as well as a child journalist. Mm-hmm. And so later on, my advocacy work continued with the media, because we'd use the media to advocate and raise awareness. But then for me, I took it a step further and just decided to go all out and picked on different fields that I'd like to work in. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became a health activist and advocate, as well as a female empowerment activist and advocate, but as well as a gender equality rights activist and advocate. So I work across society.
Correct.
And just ensure that I can ensure that the needs of the people are well represented, and that I am voice for the voiceless, and that I actually be a solution to, other than just bringing out the problems.
Share with us, in all your years of fighting for the rights of people, for example, since 12 years old, for example, mm-hmm. what so far has been your most deepest, greatest feel of success that is all worth it for doing what you do? Because some other kids around the world, mm-hmm. they might be playing games, eating their fast food, taking money from their parents, and not even going out of your room, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, but you are doing exactly the opposite, and you're punching way above any 18 years old.
Yeah. Well, I do take money from my parents, and I do eat fast food sometimes.
But your parents are accountants. Yeah, they count every cent.
Of course. I do believe that every young person should be able to discover their path and journey at as young as they ought to. And I think it's important. That's something that I did too. And the most fulfilling thing for me is just looking at lives and then being able to step in and then help them transform and change into something else. I mentioned something during the panel yesterday.
Yes.
What happened was, in 2018, we had an African summit. It was held to speak. I have been into this field for a very long time, and I have been pushing for girls to get get out of child marriages, and for laws around that to be improved, as well as for monies to be invested, and also for systems so that these girls can actually be rescued and then go through rehabilitation. And so I have been giving speeches on this. I've been pushing. I've been sitting with stakeholders and lobbying for a very long time, not just in my country, but international spaces, because I was on the African Union Commission's Youth Advisory Board, for instance. And so in these spaces, I've worked with the UN, I've worked with all sorts of people. And so I made it a very global issue. Of course, I wasn't the only one doing it, but I was one of the people doing that. And I think it's important. This is a key point. Always try to be a voice and be part of the solution. Even if you may not think it's significant, but just being a part of it is the biggest thing you can do. Okay. And so after I gave the speech in 2018, it was held in Ghana at the summit. And so I mentioned things like menstrual health and hygiene. I mentioned the rehabilitation processes, the systems, the rescuing, what needs to be done in such solutions. And so earlier, late last year, 2019, in December, somewhere there, actually in before November, I came home. I had traveled out and I had gotten back home from a conference. And then I got my hands on this wonderful article, and it was mentioning how people were attributing the speech that I gave in 2018 and the work that I've been doing in child marriages and trying to eradicate it and teenage pregnancies to the rescuing of millions of girls across Africa from these same dangers and harmful practices. And so sometimes for me, you know, this is what we're talking about too. Sometimes it feels as though we're talking and we're pushing and no one is really listening. And no one wants to act, but then receiving such reports, and you know, the media, that was that was a good thing. So for the media to cover that story and to be able to gather, and for people to actually attribute it to something I said, it made me realize that there's actually way more change than I anticipate that's going on because of what I'm doing. And so for me, that's a really huge accomplishment, honestly, just being able to know that because of something I said and the action I decided to take, and because I decided that I want to be part of the solution, people's lives were being transformed, and millions of girls out there, thousands of girls rather out there actually becoming being rescued, and hope is being restored. And of course there are a few more other things that I have accomplished that I think are really big and I'm grateful for. For instance, I received the Global Health Leadership Award by the World Health Organization last year during the World Health Assembly, and that it was actually also the first time they had a young person speaking and opening the session too. So I gave a speech and I told them what I wanted them to do for young people as well as the World Health Assembly, and then surprisingly they awarded me for my work in health. So for me, it's also it's a huge accomplishment, because in as much as I didn't come in thinking I'm going to win awards or I'm going to win trophies or I'm going to stand and speak on big stages, for me my heart was that I want to improve the health of different young people and just generally the whole world out there. And then being able to recognize such efforts from a young person is bigger than just Natasha. It's a symbol of them recognizing and saying there are young people that want to change the world and they're ready to invest in that. So for me, that's it was a huge accomplishment, and it also showed that there's a huge responsibility attached to it. So I believe with such things, I've got a lot more stories to tell, honestly.
Understood.
And it's really big, but another one I really am grateful for too is being able to be part of this wonderful fellowship. It's called Women Deliver, and it's quite famous. If people can look at it, I actually have my pin. I don't know if it could be seen. This is a Women Deliver logo. It's a sign. And so what happens with Women Deliver, they gather the gender equality activists and advocates around the world, and they bring them together and they just amplify the works that they do with gender equality. And so they've given me so many platforms and opportunities, and they've invested in me. But just being part of an elite, I call it elite because I feel it's really special to be part of it and to be part of such a great community, and just being able to impact different lives because of them has been such an honor, and it's a huge accomplishment for me, honestly. So I could go on and on, because I believe the greatest accomplishment, honestly, is being able to see someone's life hopeless and them not realizing anything, but then being able to step in using my voice and then later on seeing the transformation and having bettered their lives. That's the greatest accomplishment.
I think Asia and Africa say, you know, many similarities, and our humble background from the rural areas are very influential even in our cities.
Yeah.
So while you have reached the pinnacle of the Alps here, at the World Economic Forum, I would like to bring you, because you're a fellow journalist, it's easy for me to get you to storytell because you understand that so well.
Yeah.
Let's go back to where you come from, because context is important. Our roots are very, very important.
Yeah.
I just told you that, you know, I was born in the paddy fields, the rice bowl of my country. Mm-hmm. But how about you? For your information, the mother is just behind this camera, okay? So, you know, we verify everything. was it one day you wake up and I want to do this? Or is it a more organic reality, grassroots ecosystem around you that compel you to take this responsibility? I deem it as a responsibility, what
it
you
is,
do.
It
you
know? Is.
It's not for fame.
No.
It's not for awards. But it's to make that real change. And Greta talked about real change for environment. You're talking about real change for girls and women. And sometimes people have got to be there in Africa to understand how precious talents and stars like you are to really make change. So I want you to tell us a story, all of us, your background, your childhood. How do you look at Africa, Zambia around you as you were growing up? Why it make you do what you do now?
So you called me a star, and I remember yesterday I was talking to one of the activists. I'm one of the teenage activists, so they organized the 12 of us anyway, so below the age of 20 to come here. And so one of them was asked, what's the most dangerous thing you've ever done? And then she says, I became an activist. And I think that's something that's really, really interesting, because it's got its own struggles and everything else. But like you mentioned, it's honestly a huge responsibility. My background is basically, when I was younger, I had moved to, well, sort of an urban area, but then I moved to a rich kid's school. And so my family by then, of course, we were doing really well, but we're not necessarily rich kids or anything like that. But my parents did their best to invest in educating me and ensuring that I had the best education, no matter the cost. So I'm grateful for that. But I got into that school and I experienced a lot of bullying because I was the youngest. I was quite young. I was the most intelligent, you know, probably the cutest as well.
I could tell. I believe you. Yeah.
But yeah, so because I was really small too, it was easy for me to be picked on, I guess. And I was not very, I was very loud growing up when I was a baby. My mom would say I would cry all the time, and I think I was quite loud too. But then I guess when I got into that zone, I sort of just lowered my self-esteem because I thought I wasn't as good as everyone else. And so I experienced bullying for some time, but then afterwards I just said, I've had enough, you know. And so this one time a bully tried to pick on me, and I just responded and just shouted at them, and then I made them cry. And so in my head I was like, this feels good, you know, like I actually have a tool that I can make people cry with, you know, I'm no longer going to be the one crying. And so I continued, and I became the bully eventually without realizing it. But then when I looked back, I said, look, if anyone has got a voice and it's powerful enough to hurt someone's feelings, why would you use your voice to hurt their feelings when you can use your voice for something
good,
bigger, like changing the world? And so I was about 8 years old at the time. And so I looked up a few people, and my mom came home with this article about Malala Yousafzai. I think we've all heard of this amazing young education activist. And I read about her, and I was just amazed that a young person can do
so many
great things, you know. And so I just thought, I want to do that. Like, you know, it was just a by the way at the time. I was just like, you know, I'll do that someday, maybe. And I continued and discovered, tried to do as many things as possible. So I was in the science club. I was in modeling competitions. I even tried out sports. I did everything trying to find out who I was and what I wanted to do. But then this one time I just thought, I have a voice. So I joined the debate club, and then afterwards I won many awards back in school, and I liked that. But then, you know, the thing with debate and what I do now is debate, you argue a topic and then it ends there, and you know, someone wins, someone loses, and that's it. But then with what I do, I use my voice and I speak and I spread a message, and I wanted to do something. This is way more fulfilling.
Correct.
And so that's how I thought, I'm going to find a way to, you know, use my voice for something better. And that's how I joined an NGO called the Media Network on Child Rights and Development. And like I mentioned, that's when my journey began. I was 12 years old. They trained me to be an activist and advocate and use the media to raise awareness. And because of the exposure they gave me, I just blossomed and found myself. And this is how I found my purpose.
Are blossoming not just for Zambia and Africa, but for the whole world. It took me more than 2 decades doing what I do to be able to even get the ability to come here. But you know, you've already achieved it, so you are at a high level. How has that call or that email or that message from World Economic Forum changed the game for you?
It was really amazing because, you know, they called me they sent emails anyway, and they called me and then they told me, you have been selected to be part of the top 10 right now that we've been able to nominate, the top 10 young individuals around the world below the age of 20 that are changing the world. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, oh, that's you know, it's probably something they do all the time, you know, like, oh, that's so cool, thank you so much, such an honor. And then later on they sent the emails and they taught us how this is the first time, and you know how the nomination process went with the Global Shapers, and I was just amazed, I was stunned, because I looked at the World Economic Forum, and if you asked me 1 year ago, yes, if I would attend the World Economic Forum today, I would say no, give me a few years when I'm a billionaire, yeah, maybe maybe then, you know, I'm gonna attend it. But yeah, then to be able to come here and to be part of the first inaugural group of young, yes, individuals, teenagers actually, yes, that are changing the world, and to just be recognized for my efforts back home trying to change the world in Africa and in many different places also, like you mentioned, it's such an honor, honestly. And it's also a huge responsibility, because I'm not here just representing myself, for instance. I'm not here just representing Zambia.
Yes.
I'm here representing the whole of Africa and, yes, its young people, the whole of the world and its young people, our needs. I'm here to, yes, be a voice and to present our issues and what we think should be done, and to push and ensure that it's actually done. So it's honestly, it's a huge responsibility, but it's also such an honor and a privilege to be selected and to just be able to represent this many young people at such a great forum. And you know, when I met all the other change makers, I was really inspired, because they're all doing different works. You know, we have scientists on board, we have, yes, people into climate change, we have people into natural disasters, we have people into health like myself and gender equality, like we have this diverse group of individuals, and they're all doing amazing things wherever they come from. And so being able to bring all those expertise on the ground, and also just like you said, to infect the World Economic Forum with our power and our force and our voice, it's honestly a really, really great thing. And something I'm looking forward to also is away from this, of course. You know, it's wonderful. The World Economic Forum brings amazing people together,
correct,
big leaders, political, yes, leaders, and we're all trying our best to speak truth to power. But then at the end of the day, if all that it ends in is, you know, everyone saying that was a powerful session, but then what happens afterwards? Where, what happens with these young people, ourselves? Where are they taking our ideas and our solutions? So for,
okay,
me, that's something I'm looking forward to following up. But otherwise, it's honestly a good start. And I think if you even have look at the other sessions we'll be having and all the other places the young people,
yes,
will be speaking, it's honestly powerful and trailblazing to see and hear what they're doing and just the passion that we're adding to the forum. I really think it's amazing that they did this, and it's a great start. It's a wonderful start.
Just a side note. Is there like a WhatsApp group of the top 10 most powerful teenagers in the world certified by the World Economic Forum? Do you already have a group?
We do have a WhatsApp group actually running,
wow,
and so we're trying to connect as much as possible. But I guess for all of us, we've also just come to realize that at the end of the day, it's our work that's really pushing, and that's what we're trying to ensure that people can see, and not just the individuals. And so it's also helping people realize that young people are capable and are powerful enough, and we just need your support, and we need them to listen to us.
People who look at the World Economic Forum meeting once a year from the outside only see the outer layer.
Mm-hmm.
The inner layer is, one is to meet the 9 other powerful teenagers around the world. But for Professor Klaus Schwab to speak to you, and he has been for 50 years trying to gather different people from around the world to solve the problem of humankind.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful is that for you to be able to meet these kind of people face to face, and they give you a listen? They actually really listen to what you have to say.
It was really amazing. We had a closed meeting with him, all 9 or 10 of us. I think 1 or 2 people were missing. And he was there and he opened it up and then he said, now I want to listen to you. And so for us, we really felt like we're being heard. And you know, that opportunity was amazing. And we presented as many ideas as we could. And you know, we're glad someone was taking notes, because like you say, we can be talkative.
Correct.
And we mentioned so much. But then that's what we want to see more of, you know. We want to see more world leaders taking keen interest and listening and trying their best to understand and take in what young people have to say and what we have to give to the table. Because, you know, sometimes what people really just think is, oh, let's just invite a young person. It's going to be flashy. They're passionate when they talk. It's going to be interesting. But then he's actually proven to us that he's willing to invest in the ideas of all these amazing young people and what they think we could do to make the world a better place. And he's also showing us that for him, in as much as the World Economic Forum has been running for 50 years, he's also looking at the next 50 years. He's looking at the sustainability plan. He's looking at how investing in now with the generation that's now is going to help the future generations. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing seed to plant. Mm-hmm. But he's also shown me that he's understood this concept. No one can tell my story better than myself. Mm-hmm. And no one can tell the story of young people better than themselves. So if they are not being heard, if their stories are not being told, and if their solutions are not being brought out, then they are underrepresented. And they're not being part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's amazing, and it's an important leadership quality. It's inspiring. But yes, the audience with him was honestly wonderful, and he's such a humble and amazing man. It was wonderful just being there with him and just listening to everyone else too, but also ensuring that my voice was heard and that I represented young people to the best of my abilities.
The difficulty for me to share what's happening at the World Economic Forum Davos back home is sometimes the terms and the words are too alien, like stakeholder capitalism, you know? Like if I go to a school, I'm not underrating them, but which 15-year-old would look at the term stakeholder capitalism? So now that you've been exposed to it, how do you look at issues like, I know you look at gender empowerment, for example, menstrual sanitation and stuff, but all this has got to go back to be linked to how the world has been running. Mm-hmm. And how the world has been running has a lot to do with policy and stuff like that, and ideologies like capitalism, shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. So how do you look at all these terms that now you are engaging directly with? And how are you going to bring that back to...
That's a very important question also, because the World Economic Forum, like I said, is a wonderful place for you to get as much as you can into your system. But then the major question is, how are you going to use that to go back home? Because we're not going to stay in Davos forever. And so how are we as young people that have been selected here, not just representing young people at the forum, but how are you going to take back what we've gained at the forum and make it useful for them back home? And so, of course, the language can get technical, and I believe that's why they pick a certain cohort of people. And so trying to, you know, make it less complicated so that the ordinary or the layman can also understand it is very, very important. And I believe that's a responsibility that we all have to take. It's also, you know, like it's the media too. They could find a way to sort of break it down for the people so that they can find it more interactive and engaging. I could find a way, because also I run a foundation, so we work with young people, and we can find a way to find creative messages, just drafting it around it, like what are some of the key things that came out of the World Economic Forum? Because sometimes it's not everyone has to understand, like, you know, the whole capitalism thing going on. Not everyone has to get that, but all they have to understand is, how is this going to affect me, and how can I actually promote it? And then they also have to understand what their role is in all this. So, but I do think it should be everyone's responsibility to invest in knowledge building, because these are things affecting the world. And so if stakeholder capitalism is going to affect someone, then they should learn about it. If the ideology that someone believes in, for instance, is socialism, and that's something that's in their country, and they don't understand it, then I think that's really dangerous on their end, because ignorance is quite dangerous. So I would personally advise that everyone else back home should take keen interest in understanding what happens during these issues. But then we ourselves here should find a way to also package this information that we can take it back home, and it can be beneficial to them as well.
I tell you what, let's wrap it or let's K-pop it. You know, sometimes old people, and me, myself included, we want to push down how we do it to the young people.
Exactly.
But there's a reason why, you know, there's this Korean guy called Psy. And his song is the most downloadable on YouTube, you know, Gangnam.
I think I've heard it,
And that's a social critic of the downtown and uptown of Seoul, for example. So let's wrap it, you know.
Exactly, like just wrap it, make a cartoon about it, you know, be creative with it. And that's why I said we should find creative packaging ways, because it shouldn't just be for someone who's got a degree. My young sister, who's 8 years old, should also be able to say, okay, this issue is affecting me. Let's make a song about it, you know, like the ABCs, and then she should get it and digest it. So I that's a very great idea. I agree. We should package it just creatively, and we can make it fun. It doesn't have to be.
We're going to have our own WhatsApp group, don't worry.
Yes, we will. From a journalist who's older than me to a younger journalist who's also studying journalism, partly, what advice would you give me?
Who am I to tell the great Natasha the top 10, 18 teenagers?
Me.
But if I have to, I would say, There's only one word, read.
Yeah.
I don't care whether it's virtual reality, AI, or whatever else, but that one single word, read. And I never thought I could survive this far, this long in journalism. But like just to meet you, I read up everything I can about Zambia and girl empowerment.
Yeah.
I could have gone there, but I wanted the discussion to be a bit wider.
Yeah.
But I promise you, our next interview, I have a feeling that it's going to be a live interview right there in my studio.
Definitely.
In Kuala Lumpur. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Last high five. Thanks to you for watching. This is not a normal interview because this is not a normal teenager. She's the top 10 below 20 young people of the world as acknowledged by the World Economic Forum in Davos. And just like Greta, she and all these 10 will work with the World Economic Forum to find solutions, real solutions, action now, and they will also have a great say to color the next 50 years of the World Economic Forum. Thank you. This is Astro Awani Crew reporting from Ground Zero at the World Economic Forum 2020 in Davos.